Good evening. It's 7 p.m. on Monday night. That means it's game time for the Marriage Table with your host, Eric.
And Fran, it's a show that tackles the issues that rival the modern day marriage.
Together, we're going to take the field with a game plan that will give teen marriage the win. So let's get ready for the kickoff on the Marriage Table.
Hello, 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 everyone out there. Yes, yes, we welcome you again to another Monday evening here on the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. Yes, it is Season 8, Game 10, Blurred Lines. Listen, if you want to be on the show live, all you have to do is dial 646-668-8485. Please remember to press 1 and you will be able to join us. Listen, we're looking for your comments, your questions. Even someone out there may have a testimony on this topic or this subject this evening. You can go on any computer or any mobile device at www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media. Again, go like us on Facebook. We're on Instagram and we're on Twitter. You can also email us at themarriageplaybook@gmail.com with any questions, any concerns. We'll be willing to get right back to you. Again, we love you, family. Thank you for tuning in on tonight. Listen, we're going to get this show started. Coach Eric, how are you this evening?
I'm doing good on this Monday night. Again, this is the Marriage Playbook Season 8, Game 10, Blurred Lines, the Gender Agenda, the Gender Agenda. Okay, so this is anticipated concept. We've dealt with something similar to this before, and we make it a point not to deal with this thing irresponsibly. Okay, but we want to deal with this thing and give the proper information out that maybe someone might be blessed by it. And I know that's okay, you know, because you know we want to deal with this thing straightforward. Okay, so let me kind of give you an introduction of our show tonight, and then we'll go take a break and we'll get right back with it. Okay, so it's just about normal now in this society, you know, that we defend the things that's abnormal or the things that we deem to be inordinate. It has become quite possible to even be under attack just for standing on the principle of what you see is right. Okay? We even expose what we hold most dear, our children. We expose them to possibly negative influences that might be to their detriment. Okay? So, as a whole, we have turn so far away from God, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the turning away from God. And we've turned so that the lines have blurred. That's where we get this topic, blurred lines. When lines are blurred, you can't distinguish one thing from the other. You can't distinguish light from darkness. You can't distinguish right from wrong. It's almost to the point that you can't distinguish male from female. And that's what we're going to talk about today when we come back from our commercial break.
It shouldn't be as hard to find a graphic designer with great customer skills, over 20 years of experience at an affordable price. Accent On Design by Luz offers you personable service with great attention to detail. Find me on Facebook at Accent On Design by Luz. Email aodbyluz@gmail.com or call 267-753-5936. If you can imagine it, I can help you create it.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship. Prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
Yes, yeah, so we're back, and we're grateful to be on the air another day. Coach Eric, like you said, we're on the Marriage Playbook. This is Season 8, Game 10, Blurred Lines. This is the gender agenda. And Coach Eric, you said something before we went off the air about we're talking about blurred lines. And I thought about how, you know, when you get older, well, you get older, all depends on who you are, that all of a sudden now you need glasses, you know, your vision, you can't see. People I know who sit at the computer a lot, you know, eyes begin to start messing with them a lot sooner than it probably would because of the amount of time that they spend at the computer. And what happens is not only if the lines of your vision get blurred, it takes a long time to really focus in or adjust to what you see and what is actually going on, or what's actually on the paper, what's actually on the computer. And I think what's going on is that, you know, we're not actually looking at the culprit behind this gender agenda. We're not looking at how it's going to even affect our household for those who have children and teenagers that have to go out and be in the world. And so this topic is really, really serious, because we really need to not look at this thing with an ignorant. Yes, look at it and come at it in love, the love that God has given us to be able to deal with it. But we cannot be ignorant and allow our grandchildren, our children, those who we say we love, go out into the world and we do not educate them. That is our responsibility as parents.
All right, the Marriage Playbook Season 8, Game 10, Blurred Lines, the gender agenda. And if you are paying attention, there is an agenda to confuse gender. Anytime you use a word like gender assignment, which is like a relatively new word they use, new phrase, gender assignment. Now, I have to say this, okay, you don't assign gender. Gender is assigned at birth by God. It's already assigned. You can't assign gender, okay? You can't, because God already assigned it. Okay. Now, I want to make this statement because this is not a show about gay or lesbian bashing, you know, or transgender bashing. It's not that kind of show. This is a show about Christian awareness. Christian awareness. As men and women of God, we have a mandate to love everybody. Okay, so I want to make that clear. So I have no ill will towards my brothers and sisters in the LGBT community. However, I must bring to everyone's attention what our adversary, the devil, has in mind, and I have to do that for your protection. Okay? Now, first of all, no laws are being broken here. Okay? It used to be laws about this stuff, but no laws are being broken here because we have allowed, Supreme Court has allowed this. So now we have, you know, males marrying males, females marrying females, you know, it's allowed. So no laws are being broken. However, when we create laws, some of these laws that we create actually breaks God's law. So God's law is being frequently violated when we approach this way of living. So let me say this. God has given all of us free will to do as we will. Now, I know that sounds Alistair Crowley, but, you know, it's the time. Do as we will. Okay, so God has given us free will. We have a gift of free will. We can do whatever we want to do. Okay? But my warning to everyone who thinks free will gives you a license to do whatever you want to do, my warning is free will ain't free when it can cost you your soul. It ain't free.
You, Coach Eric, you said that because the scripture while you were talking that came to me was, for the wages of sin is death. That's in Romans 2:23. And, you know, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And so even though we may accept the laws and what's going on in the world, God has a whole nother rule and a life that he has set up according to his word, the standard he has set up according to his word for the body of believers, you know. And even with some of us, we have gotten to the place where, like Coach Eric said, the blurred lines, we have gotten so comfortable. We have accepted any and everything that comes along. And again, I'm not talking about no one is supposed to be hating anyone. No one is supposed to be bullying anyone. No one's supposed to be beating up no one. You're not supposed to be talking about people if you can't assist with the power and the authority that God has given you, not only to love, but to help someone be freed and delivered. Then, you know, you don't need to say anything at all.
Right.
So, again, This is about allowing us to be aware because we have really let our guards down. Not only we let our guards down, we let our standard down. And we tell people, and it's going to be on us as the believer, because we don't tell people that this is not acceptable to God.
Right.
One of the things is we're not trained and we're not taught to deal with this. Two, you know, some of us are scared because we think it's some kind of disease that's going to rub off, you know, and, you know, we just don't know how to address it, and then some of us just don't want to. But how would you feel, you know, if this is an area that because of the lack of knowledge and the lack of dealing with it, you know, that someone really close to you that you love is in that situation, or you see them going in that direction, you telling me you're going to just leave it alone and avoid it and don't say anything, you know, it's not going to make it any better. It's not going to, you know, of course, people may not like what you say, and of course, we have to be careful how we say it and say it in love, but that individual, you lost them anyway without even giving them the truth. I hear parents all the time say, well, I don't want to lose my child, so you let them do whatever they want to do in the home, but you're losing them anyway. So you might as well give them the truth, sit them down, talk to them, find out what's going on, and give them God's word, what God has commanded us. As believers, we should be teaching and training our children the way of God from the beginning, you know, and teaching them who the Lord is, teaching them what he requires of us, even at a young age. And yes, as they get older, they will have to ultimately make that decision. But if you never teach it to them, how would they ever even know what direction to go in? They're automatically going to go in the direction. I was walking downtown the other day, Coach Eric and I, and as we were walking on a small street. And the scripture came to me immediately because when we got to the main street, it was so broad and it was so many people on it. But on those small streets that we were walking on, wasn't hardly no people there. But as soon as we got to the huge street, it was tons and tons and tons of people because it was the Easter holiday. But it was so strange that when I got to that point, the Lord dropped that scripture in my heart, broad is the way,
mm-hmm.
you know, that leadeth to destruction, you know, and narrow. And guess what? The scripture let us know that most people not even going to find it because everybody think being on the Broadway is the end thing. Everybody think that following the crowd and being in is what, no, that small, narrow space, you know. And that space actually keeps us in line with the will of God.
This brings me to this point of being politically correct. You know, politically correct can go to hell because usually, you know, it allows us to do something that's an error by being politically correct. So afraid to offend somebody by saying, I disagree with that. Okay? What's wrong with disagreeing with something? As long as you're not disagreeable, just disagree with something. That's all I'm saying. Do I agree with your lifestyle? I do not agree. God doesn't agree with it, so I don't agree with your lifestyle. It doesn't mean I don't love you. I just don't agree with your lifestyle. You know, I don't agree with the fact that you say that you are a male trapped in a female's body. What you are is a female trapped in a female's body, but that's not good enough for you, all right, because you have developed an appetite, pretty much a spirit, that decide in your mind confuse you to think that you're something that you're not. Okay? But you want it to manifest. Okay, it's confusion. Okay, it's really confusion. It comes from pain. It comes from hurts and things like that. And it comes from exposure because it is a spirit, which brings me to my first segment. But before I start the first segment, I'm going to say this. What God has established and created was wonderful. God created he, them, male, and female. It was wonderful how God set it up. All right, now what the enemy tries to do is pervert everything that God established. Which brings me to our first segment, the acceptable confusion. Acceptable confusion. Now, this is the mandate. This is the agenda of the world that's trying to put it, particularly on the church and on the family. You're trying to let us and allow us to accept confusion. Let me tell you why no confusion is acceptable. But the Bible said there's no confusion is acceptable. You know, God is not the author of confusion. Not God. And our prayer should be, never let us be put to confusion. That should be our prayer and our mandate always, that we always be in the order of God. So because God is not the author of confusion, anytime you see confusion, that's the enemy coming in, even with politics. That's why I don't get the politically correct thing, because the politically correct thing is never politically correct or never even correct, okay? But it's the thing that say, listen, we don't talk about that. Okay, we don't address that. If somebody's gay, don't say nothing. Wait a minute. Okay, now if I love somebody and I know that that lifestyle is going to cause them to be harmed or cause them to be out of favor with God, why wouldn't I say something? Okay, my thing is, I don't think that you should hop on one sin over the other.
That's right.
Okay, you got to be an equal opportunity employee when it comes to sin. You got to attack all sin. You can't attack your homosexual friend without attacking your heterosexual friend that is fornicating. Okay, you can't say it's all right for him to fornicate. At least he's with a woman. No, that's sin also. Okay, whether you fornicating heterosexually or homosexually or in a lesbian way, any way that you're fornicating with nakedness is involved is sin. Any way you slice it is sin. All of it is wrong. So you got to address it equally as being wrong. Okay, that's the only fair way to deal with it. So the climate of our current society is to embrace evil as good. Everything that's evil is good. So now the rap video is about somebody blowing somebody's head off, so that's good.
Uh-huh.
Or it's about having whorish behavior, and that's good. Uh-huh. Okay, nobody wants to get married. Everybody wants to be a player. If you're not a player, you're a pimp, you're a whore, all that's good. And we glamorize that and promote that, and our kids watch that. Uh-huh. Our kids want to watch Queen B, Beyonce, shimmy on the stage just like any man would watch in a strip joint. Now tell me it's not true. What is she doing that's different? She's just singing with it? She's doing the same thing. She's putting on a striptease. Everybody loves it. Okay? And that's good. And she has a following. And here's the crazy thing. The following is a lot of young people. You don't want your daughter doing that. What man or woman wants his daughter dressing like that and behaving like that on stage, on any kind of stage? Okay? So how do we promote that as something that's good? So when you see somebody covering themselves up, that's square. Okay, suits are tight, dresses are tight, so you can see your body, you can see your print, you can see your private parts, and that's good. Covering up, that's square. You know, but what we're doing is we're even perverting how we dress. We're perverting God's will and God's rule by how we dress. And the fashion industry is chief at that.
Yeah, I mean, listen. I mean, Coach Eric, you said it best. I'm telling you, it's so much that we have to be careful of. I remember one time visiting our grandson or our grandchildren, and they had this shirt on with this skull. And immediately as grandparents, because we respect our children in their home, and we try to, as much as possible, live all that we know how, for God through his word and through his spirit and just having wisdom. But we do talk to our children, and we don't let it, that might be in their home, so we don't, you know, over step our boundaries. But as their parents, even watching over their soul and asking God to intercede, you know, the spirit of God was even unctioning you to say something even to your adult child, you know, concerning your grandchildren and the next generation, and especially if your children have been in the Lord and been in church and know some things already. So we just had to sit them down and talk to them about that, you know, and let them know we love you and we're never going to tell you how you should do this or thus. But we don't want later on for them to be able to, we open up a door where now they're dealing in this, they're dealing in that. You know, we knew some children who actually was messing with a Ouija board, mm-hmm. You know, literally messing with a Ouija board. And I never forget that whatever spirit, whatever had possessed and came up in that house was open and slamming a cabinet door, oh. You know. So this stuff is real. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, this stuff is real. We think that, how you think they can come up with all these terror movies and all this stuff? Because someone had experienced it in real life, you know. And so I remember us fasting and praying for the young man that he might be free, because the next thing that happened was now he's in homosexuality, you know. And it's like you cannot, You have to monitor your children. You cannot let them do any and everything. You cannot let them watch everything. You can't let them be involved with everything. You can't let them hang out with everybody. You know, it was a time that we would check to see who house they were going over. We would check to see who were their parents. And if that didn't seem like it was going to be kosher, we wouldn't let our children go over there. Now, children are leaving home, spending the night for weeks at a time. Parents don't care because as long as they're not in their hair and they're not, you know, bothering them. But the problem, you may not see it now when they 8 and 9 years old. But see, when they get 13, 14, and 15, and now you want to start trying to teach them in the way of doing things right and doing things moral, it's going to be too late. So this is what I'm saying. We have to stop, you know, looking at stuff like, oh, well, it's not a small thing. Oh, just because, oh, y'all old timers, you know, that's what y'all did back in the day. No, 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 no. It's some things that was done back in the day. It was some things done through the principles of God that actually spared our lives. Even the things I've done at a young age, actually because of the prayers and the seeds planted in my life, it was things I've done, but it was some things that I could not do, you know? So we have to be really, really, you know, really start dealing with these issues and stop ignoring it like we don't see that this is a problem.
Well, like I said, we're dealing with influence.
Yeah.
Now, we're influenced by everything around us going the opposite direction of God's will.
Opposite.
Everything we see, you know, is influencing us to go in the opposite of God's will. Okay, now, first of all, they made it illegal. They took prayer out of the classrooms. Like something was wrong with prayer. I never seen anything wrong happen with prayer, but they felt it was wrong, so they took prayer out of the classrooms. No, they replaced it with, we got drag queens coming in every week to read to our preschoolers. Now, I don't understand the significance of a drag queen getting dressed up in drag and coming to read to impressive preschoolers.
Three or four or five.
Now, they ask, are you a clown? Oh, no, I'm not a clown. I'm a drag queen. So what is a drag queen? Now you're going to tell a 4 or 3 year old what a drag queen is? Like they need to know that you're a man dressed in drag? That's important for them to understand and know? What's the agenda here, and what are they trying to promote by doing this? You know, and we're not asking enough questions anymore. We're just allowing stuff to go on and allowing it to go on. And when things happen, you know, we just, oh, that's just the way it is. You know, so now you got men dressing around looking like women and acting like women. Women dressing and acting like men. You know, and then getting on the phone on public transportation and having a loud conversation about some intimate things going on in their bedroom. Like, who gets on the phone and talks about the intimacy of what's going on in their bedroom for everybody to hear it? And they're throwing it all in our face because it is a form of rebellion. It is disorder. Believe me when I say the enemy knows exactly what he is doing. He's trying to create a climate of disorder. First of all, when I was coming up, it was disrespectful to use foul language around adults. We was teenagers and adolescents, and if we used profanity, and we did, when adults came around or walked by, we stopped and said, hi, Mrs. Johnson, or hi, Mrs. you know, whatever, you know, and we stopped using profanity because an adult was walking around. Now, you know, profanity, sex, all kinds of conversation, openly.
And
they're young. And these I'm talking about these are children. I mean, grade schoolers, junior high, two girls holding hands and publicly kissing.
Yep.
Out open because it is a form of rebellion. They don't even know what they're doing. It's rebellion.
And then I want to go to the playbook really quick. 1 Samuel 5:23. I was listening to a powerful man of God today, an apostle, talking about witchcraft and kind of talking about it, and it was just confirmation for this show this evening. So I just want to read 1 Samuel 15:23. It's the King James Version. And it says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And we know that this particular scripture is talking about Saul, when God had given Saul a command to go in, and he told him to kill everything. you know, that was everything, move in, kill it, you know, not to bring back no spoils, don't bring back anything. And Saul did the opposite. Not only he did the opposite, he blamed it on the men that was with him and said that they had took the spoils. And so we don't understand, just because we live in the dispensation of grace, it does not mean that how God feels about sin has changed, you know. And that's one of the things we do. We'll say, oh, God's love, and yes, he does love us, but we don't understand that there's a penalty for sin, and God will never come against his word. This word has been established from the foundation. That means it's not going to be changed just because we may not agree with it.
Right.
It's not going to change because we don't understand it, or we don't think it should be that way. God's word is already written. It is settled in heaven. There's nothing we can do but obey what the word of God is saying, especially as believers. You know, as believers, we should be the ones holding up the banner of righteousness, not our righteousness, but the righteousness of God and what he is saying according to his word. You know, and Coach Eric said it. We really do. We have gotten lackadaisy, and we just let any and everything go. So, listen, I encourage you. I encourage you, your nieces, your nephews. I was talking to someone today. No, it is my responsibility. Ministry is a 24-hour job. Let's just say that. You know, I don't care if you have a title, you don't have a title. I don't care what's going on. You call yourself a born-again believer. I find myself ministering to people all the time, especially when it's the young women and men that grew up with our children, you know, and now they have children. So when they see me and, oh, Miss Frances, and hug on me and love on me, I begin to inquire about their lives. What's going on? You know I'm praying for you. And a lot of times when they hug me, I'm praying because I don't know what's going to try to attack them at a young age. Their mothers and parents, listen, if they don't have God and they don't know the things of God, how can they teach the children? So now I'm praying for the mother, you know, that God will touch the mother and begin to lay things in her heart and teach her and show her what to do, you know, so she can go ahead and begin to impart some of that into that child, because it's serious. It is really, really serious. So listen, we get ready to take a commercial time break, time out, and we'll be right back. Right here on the Marriage Playbook.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
Greetings, everyone. This is Erica Burnett, CEO and creative designer of A Single Suggestion, a business that specializes in handcrafted stationery. Visit our website at www.asinglesuggestion.com to see what we have to offer. Our email address is info@asinglesuggestion.com. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Pay us a visit to compliment your success at the hand of creative design.
57 South is a user experience design and development shop located in Philadelphia. We have over 12 years of experience in the visual communication field with a long list of satisfied customers. We provide innovative solutions for existing and emerging platforms. Got a plan? Let our team of talented professionals help bring it to life. You can reach us at 215-701-3934. You can visit our website, www.57south.com. We look forward to kickstarting your next project. Thank you. Have a great day.
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years with the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries. The Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
So listen, yes, you're here on the Marriage Playbook. This is season game, season 8, game 10, Blurred Lines, the Gender Agenda. Listen, you can call in at 646-668-8485. Press 1 to be live here on the show. I wanted to read the two scriptures from out of the playbook. Yes, our Holy Bible. Psalm 71 and 1, when Coach Eric talked about the confusion. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. He said that, but I wanted to give that scripture reference. That is our daily prayer, because again, here we are with the other scripture. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God is not the author of confusion. When you feel that not only confusion coming, but drama and everybody screaming and things is going. Listen, that is the work of the enemy, and he's trying to get everybody all worked up. This is the thing I thought about with us doing this show. We don't understand that the enemy is very cunning, and he has a plan. Just like God has a plan for everyone he has created, so does the enemy. And I realized something that the enemy, and it was brought to my attention, the enemy doesn't care about anyone. So he don't care about you being homosexual. He don't care about you loving your lifestyle. He doesn't care about the Christian. He don't care. As long as he, because now it's not even I'm living my life and this is the way I want to live my life. Now it's, you know, homosexuality against the heterosexual. Now there's a war going on between those two things when it was never a war, you know? It was never no fighting in that. Now it is a blown out war, you know, those who are in the lifestyle and those who are not. Now it's this big, and that's all to have us not only fighting each other, killing each other. I read today how a young man was bullied and went home and killed himself. In the ninth grade now, killed himself because he was being bullied because someone found out that he was gay. Let me tell you something. That is the enemy. You hear me? That's the enemy using someone to bully him and the enemy getting in him for that young man to kill himself. And that's what we don't see. And then what we'll do is we'll jump on the people that did the bullying, and we don't see that that war is going on back and forth so we can be killing each other.
I must add that, you know, and I've said this earlier, that's why the topic is Blurred Lines. It's all infused together because there's agenda behind it, okay? There's an agenda, okay? They said that this is intentional stuff that's going on. Everything that's happening is intentional, okay? The devil is coming in and trying to cause disorder. That's what he does. That's his M.O., disorder, okay? So anything that's disorder is confusion, okay? Because order is what? Puts things in order,
right?
Okay? It's organized, okay? So when it's in disorder and disarray, now you're confused. You don't know where this, everything's out of place, okay, and the enemy has been trying to attack the family dynamic from day one, because when we talk about, and I talked about this with my pastor just yesterday, when God is talking about his word, what he's talking about is the family. God established the family. From Adam and Eve, he established the family. And when we come into God's will, into his kingdom, we're coming into his family. So Jesus' blood made us all family. If we accept Christ, now we all are blood brothers. It makes us family. It brings us back into right standing with God. So what is the enemy's job? To mess up that right standing, to bring you in wrong standing with God.
That's right.
It's quite simple. Okay, let's talk about this next segment. We're dealing with this media assault. Okay, I call it Satan's domain because he is the prince of the air. Anything that travels on the air, whether it's gossip, broadcasting, airwaves, broadcasting TV airwaves, even podcasts, anything that travels, music that comes across the air, okay, this is the devil's domain. What he likes to do is intercept things and then send a message. Well, what is the message the devil is sending? Death,
yeah.
Perversion,
yeah.
Disorder,
yeah.
Chaos,
yeah.
Division.
Yeah.
This is the message that the enemy is sending. That's why on social media, all you hear people talking about is haters this, haters that, haters. First of all, folks don't have that many haters. Folks are not even thinking about you. They're really not. People living their life, nobody's sitting back there thinking about hating on nobody else. Everybody's trying to live their own life. But everybody talk about, I got this one hating on, and people listen, they this. What are you talking about? Okay, that's creating division and dissension where there's none. Some folks say I got so many haters. You got no haters. Nobody even knows your name. You talking about you got haters. You don't have any haters. The one that hates you is the devil.
That's right.
That's the one that hates you. God loves you. Okay, so stop focusing on who hates you and focus on who loves you. Let's try that one. Now, the devil here is the prince of the air. That's one of his names. That's one of his duties. And I'm dealing with TV programming. And I was talking to Coach Fran about it. I said, you know something? These TV programs are not programs that can air. These are programs that are supposed to program people how to think. So these TV programs are created to cause us to think a certain way. You know, it's programming us to have inordinate thoughts or with inordinate visuals. Now, let's listen to the movies, movie theaters. Another word for movies is pictures or the picture show. Another word for pictures is images. Okay? Now, the enemy is always dealing with our imagination, our imaging. Okay? So we're always trying to create an image for us to emulate. Okay? Instead of emulating God, we emulate these images that we see on TV and on the movies. Everybody want to be Shaft. Everybody want to be the cool pimp, or everybody wants to be the drug dealer that drives a nice car and got a pocket full of money, and people are dying and getting shot all through the movie, and everybody's getting their brains blown out, going to jail for life and all that kind of stuff, and they glamorize it and put music behind it. They make it look like a music video. So, man, it's cool to go out like that. It's not cool. I'm going to tell you what's cool. It's cool to come home to your wife at night. It's cool to have 14, 13 grandchildren. It's cool to see your grandchildren getting married. It's cool to take care of your family. See, all that's cool. Not hanging around the club at the strip joint, throwing thousands of dollars in the air that you got from selling drugs. Okay, that's not cool. But this is the imaging that they show. Now, I was in the streets before, and I know for sure that it's not that much money in the streets like people say it is. Folks are not making money like that. But in the movies, it makes everybody's a millionaire, and that's not true. That is just not true. That's the imaging that they create. So now on every TV program, particularly cable TV, you got to have a love scene with somebody gay or somebody lesbian. Now, I'm not arguing the point. I'm just saying it's kind of unbalanced, because if the gay lesbian community only makes up 4 to 5% of our community, how come 85% of the time they're showing these love scenes? It's inordinate. And the number is out of whack. It's disproportionate to that group that we're dealing with. So there's an agenda to try to desensitize, listen to this word, desensitize us to what is wrong or what is inordinate or what is out of order. Now, that brings me to this thing. I want to mention this on the show. Me and Fran was coming home from somewhere. We were downtown. And I just happened to look out the window, and I saw a young man. And I couldn't miss him because he had rather pale skin. But he had on a shirt that was a midriff shirt with his belly out. Then he had on these knicker-type pants with socks with six-inch heels.
With knickers, not knickers.
Knickers, whatever you want to call those pants. Anyway, guy looked really strange. And without thinking about it, I said, oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know why I responded that way? Because I haven't been desensitized to what's out of order.
Right.
Now, I was the only person on the trial that said anything. My wife said, Eric. I mean, I was like, I know I was kind of loud, but it wasn't that I was offended by it. I just was shocked by the image I saw of this young man, and I immediately felt sorry for the young man because he had on makeup. He was definitely a man with makeup, you know, kind of dressed like a woman, but he was like half man, half. It was just was strange to see. So that told me I have not been brainwashed or desensitized to thinking that it's normal. To me, it's still abnormal. It's still abnormal to see a woman who is obviously a woman trying to dress and walk like a man and behave in a butch manner with the fists all balled up, walking like a bulldog down the street. To me, that still looks strange. It's a strange look to me because you are obviously a woman and you're working very hard to be masculine. And I don't know who you're trying to prove that you're masculine. I don't know who you're proving it to, but it's, to me, it's confusion, and there's something wrong with this individual. That person needs help. Okay, let's listen to this. Even if you have an appetite to have sex with women, why you got to look like a dude to do this? I don't get what that whole mentality is about, or who you're trying to impress or confuse, or what trying to image that you're trying to create. So children are desensitized to perversion. We no longer teach morality. Even in school, we don't teach morality. You know what we teach? We teach that you may have two dads, and that's okay. Now, 50 years ago, that was unheard of to say to a child that you may have two dads or you may have two moms, and that's okay, because it has become normal today. And this is what we're talking about, okay? So man's law allows us to be condemned and eligible for the wrath of God. This is what's going on. The devil knows that by you having this stand and standing behind it and, you know, putting all your heart into it, that it puts you in position to be out of order with God so the wrath of God could come upon you, because the devil is a big troublemaker and all he wants you to do is get in trouble as well.
And Coach Eric, I just want to add on to what you said, because, you know, we had just, we just celebrated. Praise God, Resurrection Sunday on yesterday. And one of the things that the Lord has really been laying on my heart is you hit it, imagery and idolatry. You know, when we lift up all these people and we glorify the people, we glorify the actors, the actresses, those who sing, those who dance, entertain, whatever it is, it's like we start idolizing, you know, these people. I'm not saying, okay, you like, I'm talking about literally now you done changed who you are completely just to try to be this person. You know, people want to go get butt lifts and implants and, you know, eyelid transplants and all kinds of stuff just so they can look like this person. And we shouldn't do that, because God created you in a beautiful way, and however you are, that's how God want to look at you and say, that's what I created. But for you to just want to change completely who you are, you know, that's like a slap in the face to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and God been dealing with me about imagery and how we lift up all these idols and all these people, and we've totally forgot about God. We'll celebrate that one day on yesterday, and we'll talk about the crucifixion, but we'll leave right from church, or we'll leave right from where we are in worship, or we'll leave right out from out of the presence of God, and we'll go right back to like nothing ever happened. And we do this a lot, and that's another thing that's dangerous too, because you're going to have to choose, you know, this day who you want to serve. You're going to have to make a decision, you know, who you want to stand for and what side of the line are you standing on, you know, because, listen, Jesus is coming back. And this is why all of these things are going on. So we're not supposed to be ignorant to the fact that these things are happening because Jesus is soon to come. But we as people of God, we got to not act like we don't know that Jesus is getting ready to come, and that we got to begin to love and minister to every soul that we see in this condition. You know, we know it's the work of the enemy, but I see sometimes we don't care about that. You know, it's about building this, and it's about, you know, raising money over here, and it's about getting this, and it's about getting that, you know. But then we got homosexual children struggling in our churches, and we won't deal with that. We'll just say, oh, it's okay, and we'll leave it alone, and nobody won't have a heart enough to pull that person in the office and sit down and talk to them. I ain't talking about preaching over the pulpit and beating somebody over the head. We ain't talking about that. We're talking about using some wisdom where you know that that person have those tendencies, or they have that thing going on in their flesh, and that you should have enough power, enough wisdom as a man or woman of God, and begin to deal with that individual and see how you can help them. Now, I know it's time people will come in and try to take over the church, and then you got to handle things a whole lot differently and accordingly in wisdom of how the Spirit of God may lead you. But for the most part, a lot of these people are crying out for help. They're crying out because things have happened to them that they have not yet was able to even explain or express to anyone. So we have a job to do. We really do. I want to read the scripture from our playbook. We're in times past. He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Yes. When we were in the world, we did everything the devil told us to do. But now that we are in God, you know, we're supposed to be resisting, first of all, submitting ourselves to the mighty hand of God, resisting the devil so then he can flee. And I see a lot, we're not resisting anymore. You know, we're not resisting.
I was, I don't know, watching a ball game, I think, and a commercial comes on. I think it's Maybelline or one of these, you know, cosmetic commercials. I don't know if it was them, but it was a cosmetic commercial. And I'm starting to see that with all these commercials, they're starting to find these models that you can't tell whether they're male or female because they look like they might be both. You know, you're going, and you're saying to yourself, you're sitting there, is that a male? That's a female? That's a man? That's a dude? That's a girl? That's, you're going back and forth in your head because they look a little bit masculine, look a little bit feminine. You can't tell because the body's not showing any really shape. So you're not, is that a really thin man or a thin woman or what's going on? You know what I mean? Then you look at the clothes and it's called a kind of androgynous imagery where you don't know whether or not you're looking at a male or a female. So this is how the devil is blurring some of the lines in fashion. With the clothes are really, really tight on men, and they make them look a little effeminate. Even if you're a big, strong, masculine man, the shape of the clothes and how it's shaping your body is in an effeminate way, okay? And then the hairstyles that men are wearing today are rather long, and the hairstyles that women are wearing today are rather short. You know, now I know this is all style and fashion, but believe me when I say that this stuff is really deliberate. Okay, now getting back to the airwaves, music that we listen to, we got to be careful about the music that we're listening to. Okay, the music that we listen to today, particularly in the secular world, is promoting sex, promoting death, promoting drug use. Even the frequency of the music and the notes they use are deliberately evil because they cause emotional effect. Sometimes they cause depression because, you know, music can put you in a specific mood, you know, if you play it a certain way.
Right.
And with the digital manipulation that they have of music, they can reverse music and put secret notes behind it and all that stuff like that. And you don't know what you listen to. And make it completely demonic. So now you listen to music and you're angry. You don't know why you're angry,
yeah.
Or you're feeling lustful.
Yeah.
You were just listening to music, but you're feeling lustful now.
or you're feeling suicidal, or you're feeling rebellious, you know, and teaching it, and it's deceiving our youth to believe that hell is one big party. You know, when they talk about hell, it's one big party. I'm going to hell. They're going to be one big party.
Yeah,
well, I tell you what, if you make that party in hell, that party is never going to end for you, all right? It's never going to end for you, you know? It's never going to end for you, you know? So if you don't choose God, you worship Satan by default, because God created us to worship. And if you don't worship God, you're going to find somebody or something to worship in its place. That's just the nature of us. So we need to do what we were made to do, and that is to worship God.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
Magnify His name with Elder Charnell P. Blaine and Divine Purpose. For all ministry engagements, contact us at area code 267-240-0709 or email us at dpministry01@aol.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're never too tired to give God an unconditional praise. Magnify His name.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right, Marriage Playbook Season 8, Game 10, Blurred Lines, Agenda. We are on our last segment, and it's called Because God Established It. God established it. Now, the table has already been set by God. And what we got to be careful of is that the enemy's job is to pervert everything that God created or established. Everything that God established, the enemy's job is to pervert it or to distort it or to change it. All right? In Satanism, this is referred to as the rule of reversal. Everything God says, we're going to do it in reverse. God say, love your neighbor. The devil say, hate your neighbor. Beat your neighbor up. The God say, love your enemy. The devil say, never forgive your enemy. God say, forgive or you won't be forgiven. The devil said, don't never forget what that dude did to you. It's the enemy talking to you. So the world is trying to make a mockery of worshiping God, and yet they openly have their ritualistic worship of Satan. If you look at today's award shows and see all this satanic symbolism that's happening in plain sight like never before, you know, so the first rule of satanic law is the rule of reversal. And we got to talk about this because this is extremely important. Okay? Whatever law God set up and established is reversed by the deeds of those that worship Satan. Now, sinners are perverted by sin and must be converted to a born-again believer. We all know that. Okay? But you got folks that were once believers or were never believers have decided that we're going to openly worship Satan now. So everything that we want to do, we're going to do that. So through Christ, you know, I talked about this earlier, you got free will. God gave us free will. Why? God gave us free will because we can't love him on our own accord without free will. Other than that, he'd be making a robot out of us. So he gave us free will so we can love him by choice, make the decision to love and obey God. Okay? But also, if you use this free will to do whatever you want to do. I said it earlier, free will is not free. You want to live a LGBTQ community lifestyle, okay, you got the free will to do that. You got the freedom of the law to do that. But I got to warn you, brothers and sisters, and I warn you out of love, that this lifestyle is an affront to God. God is not pleased with it. It's anti-Christ in its whole manifesto, okay? It's not love because you can't say love without God. And if God ain't in it, it ain't love. Okay, it's lust. Okay, so if you're going to indulge in this, you got the free will to do it, but free will is not free when it can cost you your soul. Okay, so I take this opportunity, man, to offer Christ to you. You know, Christ is really what you want. That's what you're looking for. and every act of pleasure, man is looking for God. Every marijuana stick that was smoked, every line of cocaine that was snorted, every woman or man that you had sex with looking for pleasure, you're really looking for God. Because the only thing that can fill that hole in your soul is Christ. And Christ is willing to do that. And he's waiting with willing open arms for you to come to him. Okay? But in order to come to him, you got to resist the devil. And everything that has anything to do with the enemy, you got to resist it and come out of that. Out of that lifestyle. And I'm not just talking about that lifestyle. Any lifestyle that's an affront to God, anything that is sin, you got to come out that lifestyle and come to Jesus for your own safety. Man, I hope that some of this information was a blessing to you. You know, I hope it illuminated some thinking in you. I hope you're thinking about it. You know, if you're struggling to make a choice, look, but find a church that's teaching the Bible, that's teaching the Word of God, that's preaching and teaching the Word of God. Find a house of God that's got real Christians in it, that real deliverance can take place in your life.
Amen. I'm telling you, what a show. Again, thank you so much. We are just so encouraged for you guys, our listening family. Thank you for your love, your support, your prayers always. We thank you for tuning in. Listen, you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media and listen to some previous broadcasts. You can always call 646-668-8485. And always press 1. We'll let you live on the show. But listen, as always, you know we got a phenomenal PJC Media family, and we want you to tune in on Sundays with Deborah on Dovetails. Dovetails with Deborah, and that is at 2:30 p.m. You got Right Stuff with Parker Cole. That's on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. On Friday, it's Let's Talk About It with Jenny White, and that is at 8 p.m. Saturdays, the Parker J. Cole Show, that's at 2 p.m. And our main man, the Craig Carlisle Show, that's at 3:30 p.m. Don't forget, this is the Marriage Playbook. This is Real Christian Radio. This was the Marriage Playbook Season 8, Game 10, Blurred Lines, the Gender Agenda. And I'm telling you, please open up your eyes, amen, and see what's going on. Let's not be ignorant, amen, to the enemy devices. So, look, we thank you so much. Listen, if you're ever in Philadelphia, come on and stop by and worship with us at the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church, 2234 North Front Street, where our pastor, Dr. Bishop Joanne Dixon, is our founder leader. Teacher, I'm telling you, phenomenal. If you guys ever want to just come in and visit, listen, we got our Women's Day is coming up on the 27th of this month, which is actually Sunday coming up. You can come on in and worship with us. That's at 11 o'clock. We have a wonderful, powerful woman of God that's coming through to bring the word. Our own pastor, Nancy Schoolfield from Back to Acts Apostolic Church. Amen, and I'm telling you, powerful woman of God who will be coming in and bringing us the word on Sunday morning. So come join us with our Women's Day, ladies. Amen. So listen, again, this is the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. We love you guys. We love you. We love you. We love you. We hope you have a great and blessed evening. We'll see you again on next Monday here on the Marriage Playbook.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have left in this game.
Yeah, but the season is not over. We got more games to play.
Well, we thank you for spending your Monday evening here with us at the Marriage Playbook.
We hope we've encouraged you with some strategies that will give your marriage the win.
All right, so let's have a good week of practice, and we'll see you at game time next week on the Marriage Playbook.